Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this morning's worship service. It's a delight to be able to worship God freely together in this country. In the scriptures, we are encouraged to give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offerings and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Please join with me in an opening prayer. Father, we want to show our love for you through intentional worship. May we express our deepest devotion and affection by praising you with our whole being, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This month, our mission focus is going to be on ministry with the refugees and the Blair family, and also Anglicare, prison chaplaincy. Here at Abbotsford Anglican, we're a group of ordinary people who delight to allow Jesus to be the one who guides us in how to live, in choices we make, and in everything we want him to be central. It's a delight to be able to join together. And my prayer for today is that God would continue to speak powerfully to you and that you would allow him to direct you in whatever way he sees is most important. For the start of our service today, we are actually going to hear, for a lot of us, what will be a new worship song. And so for the first time, if you would stay seated, listen, it will come again later in the service and then we'll have an opportunity to join in.
Thanks, Fiona. Yep. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you. And those listening in, welcome to church as well. This particular song ties in really well with the Bible teaching that we've got today. It's reminding us that God has actually made us alive in Christ Jesus.
help us wake and stand in the living light. Jesus, help us walk right now in the risen life. Jesus, help us.
It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? We have been made alive, and we will return to that song a little bit later. Just now, Trevor is going to give us an overview of what's going to be happening a little later in our service.
Well, thanks again, Fiona. That song reminds us of what we're actually picking up in the Bible teaching today. We've been made alive, and we ought to live lives of being ones who are alive, not dead. And we're going to realise that it's a wonderful gift that God's given to us. We're talking about salvation, how we know we're being right with God. And this little sermon series is reminding us again of being able to see ourselves through God's eyes, not through our own eyes. Our own eyes deceive us, but God's eyes tells us the truth, and we're to live it through His eyes, not our own eyes or what other eyes people give to us. That kind of sums it up, Fiona.
You may like to take a moment now to greet people around and welcome people to church this Sunday. At the end of the school holidays, often the kids are not with us, so I will pray for the kids in their absence. Please join with me. Loving Father, children are a gift from you, and we thank you and praise you that you continue to bring children into this congregation, that we can continue to learn from them and together give you glory. For those who are away this weekend, please give them safe travel home, and we look forward to seeing them again next week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The life we live has been given by God. Everything we have is given by God. So please join with me as we praise God for all His good gifts. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before Janice comes to read the scriptures for us, please join me in a prayer that God will help us hear his living word. Thank you, Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to page 1174 in your pew Bibles in front of you, or in the handout that's given to you inside your news and notes today as we continue our little Bible teaching time through Ephesians, seeing ourselves through God's eyes. Janice has prayed for us, and thank you, Janice, for praying for us. We turn to chapter 2 this morning, and we'll be going to be looking at verses 1 through to 10. And the title for the sermon is The Grace of God. But just thought we'd recap where we're up to at this moment for a few of us who weren't here last week, and just also to be reminded of what we've learned so far already from God's word. Paul is writing this letter, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus, or to a number of churches around about the place of Ephesus. And there you'll see on the screen where Ephesus is. It's in modern-day Turkey. Don't know if any of you have been to Ephesus. Any of you have been to Ephesus, seen the place that's there? Karen's been there. And so it's a place where Paul went on his second missionary journey and third missionary journey, and you can read about the story of the church beginning there in Acts 18, 19 and 20 in your Bibles. But a church began there, small in number, and then as time went on, they grew in faithfulness to the Lord and other churches began from them. But Paul is here writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's reminding them of their relationship now with God, not only personally, but corporately as his people. And I take it that this letter is also being written to a number of churches around about. Like most of the letters in the New Testament, they were meant to sort of be moved around and passed around to the churches so that they would all hear it read aloud in church. I was tempted at the beginning of the little sermon series to read the whole letter to give you a kind of a taste last week of what it would have been like for the early church to receive the letter and hear it read in all its entirety. But we're going to look today at verses 1 through to 10 of chapter 2, but recapping chapter 1 to begin with. You may remember that what Paul starts off is reminding God's people, reminding you and me and all God's people who read this letter, how God sees us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I reckon that's our biggest problem as Christians. We fail to see ourselves from God's perspective. We get so caught up in thinking about how I see myself, or I see how things are.
and or how others try to see us. But we're to see things from God's perspective, through his eyes. And one of the amazing things that as we read here is that you, if you profess to be a Christian, as I do, you are now holy and blameless in his sight, because God chooses to see you now in Christ, in Jesus, chosen, holy, blessed. And as I said last week, I often say to God, God, you don't know me that well. But this is the way God chooses to see the Christian, to see the church, because of the person and work of Jesus, his Son. Holy, faithful, blessed, chosen before the creation of the universe. We read this last week. We were in the mind of God from the very beginning of time. Blameless before God now. Loved, deeply loved is the word. Adopted as God's children, not by right, but by adoption. God's chosenness to be in his family. Forgiven, verse 7, wiped clean. No hard copy, no carbon copy, no cloud in the sky. God's forgiven and wiped it clean because of Jesus. We are now rescued, redeemed, free to serve him. If this does not bring smiles and happiness to our faces, I don't know what can. We are now knowers of God and his will for our lives. We are his work, God's handiwork, to the praise of God's glory. God now is giving all praise because of what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. And he's given to us his Holy Spirit. He lives in us, and he is making us more and more like Jesus, individually and corporately as his people. And he is a guarantee to us that one day we will see Jesus face to face in heaven, in his glory, in the new heaven and the new earth that's there. Paul begins by saying there, if you look back there at verse 4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with," what's the next word? Tell me, yell it out. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. When we wake up in the morning and we feel ripped off from God, remember this verse, will you? Will we? Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. All this and much more has been given to us. Praise be to God. Why? Because, if you remember a bit later on, and he says, so that we could know God. We're going to find out today that we didn't choose to know God. Oh, okay. No. We haven't chosen to know God. But we do know God now. Well, how did that come about? We'll find that out today. Knowing God as you and I have is a privilege that most people don't have. You and I know God and are known by him. And we have a hope that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. All these spiritual blessings that we've been given to us is that we might have the privilege of one day sharing in that hope, sharing in that joy of being with Jesus forever. Because we are in Christ. Again, when God sees us, he sees us in Jesus, in Christos, in Christo, in Christ, in him, as if looking through the green ginger beer bottle. Sorry if I keep hacking on this one. But it sees us as looking at us through Jesus, holy, blameless in his sight, so that you may know him better. And I pray, Paul says, he prays for the church, he prays for me, he prays for you, he prays for all God's people here, that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called you. That's the reason why we come here today, is that we can remind each other and be reminded of the hope that we have been called to, that we have been brought into. Not just to talk about the weather, how wet it is outside, or how difficult our life has been this week. Yes, that too can be done, but we need to work at being able to say to each other, this is the hope that we have as God's people, to know the hope which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and is an incomparable great power for us who believe. Well, we come now to verses 1 to 10, and I've divided it up into three little sections. The first section deals with what we once were. It's good to be reminded what we once were in verses 1 through to 4 of chapter 2. Let me read them out to you to start with. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time. But all of us, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. I can't remember a time where I didn't believe in that there was a God. That might be different from you. But I do remember a time when I understood and I heard the gospel, and I remembered that I always thought I was a good boy, always thought I was good enough for God, and that God loved me because I was good enough. And yet I realized when I was about 14, when I was preparing for confirmation, when I heard the gospel, I heard grace, I heard this. I was not good enough for God. God had to save me. I was dead in my transgressions and sins. And it's he who's made me alive, who made me alive at that time. And so what, you know, you may believe in God now, but there was a time in your life when we didn't. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. I don't know if any of you have seen someone who is dead or actually been in the presence of a dead thing. Dead things, dead people, cannot bring themselves to life again. It's a really important thing to actually, but Paul's reminding us here. This is how we once were in God's sight, dead in our transgressions and sins. Dead things, dead people, cannot bring themselves back to life again, or to bring themselves to life. This is how God once saw you and me. And at this point, I think we also need to allow ourselves to see ourselves this way because of what we now will hear in the verses that come forward. You can't, it's like the good news and the bad news. What do you want? The good news first or the bad news first? You know? Here's the bad news. All right. And the good news is coming. And this is a strange statement. Even though we were dead in the eyes of God, dead in our transgressions and sins, disobedient to God, foreign to him, alien from him, we still lived in it. I thought I was a good boy. I didn't do the things that other people did. You didn't do the same things other people did either. And you may have thought, oh, I didn't live in that state of deadness before God. But God tells us that we did. And we were in his sight. We lived in it. We relished in it, and that we were deserving of God's wrath. We may not have thought this through, but from the moment of conception, this might not be something you've thought through, but from the moment of conception, by nature, all mankind is deserving of God's wrath. From the moment of conception. No one is righteous. Remember the scriptures? No, not one. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No one can put up their hand and say, there was a moment in my life where I was, but I chose not to be, and that's why I'm now deserving of God's wrath. No, from the very start, because of Adam, because of Eve, we are by nature objects of God's wrath, dead in our transgressions and sins. And we lived in it. I love the buts in the Bible. Don't you? The buts in the Bible. But, read on. Verses 4 through to 6. Actually, I'll read through to 8. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, or by Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, or by Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, what we hope for and look for, he might show the incomparable, there is nothing else like this, riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. What God has done for us now, if you're a Christian, is in verses 5 to 6 we read, because of God's great love for us, God who is rich in mercy. Now remember, what's mercy? Mercy is undeserved favour, isn't it? It's undeserved favour. It's not something that anyone deserves. It's what a king or queen may grant to someone when they deserve punishment because they're over the law and can grant mercy. And it's mercy then that's the reason why they're spared. Out of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, not just a meany little miserly little bit of mercy, rich, abundantly merciful, he made us alive with Christ, or in the Greek, by Christ. What's he talking about there? What do you think he's talking about there? How has God made us alive, alive, right with God? Through the work and person of Jesus, by his life of faith unto death upon a cross in his Father, then taking the punishment for the sin on the cross and rising again from the dead, ascending to the Father, coming back again one day, we have been made alive by or with Christ. Raised up now again. God sees us alive, not dead in our transgressions and sins anymore, because of the person and work of Jesus on our behalf, raised up now and seated with Jesus, not somewhere in the back stalls or up in the back room somewhere, but seated with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Holy One, with Christ in the heavenly realms, seated with him. Raised up beside, not some second-rate thing, but with him. This is how God sees us. Seated again. Remember the completedness of it all. The word seated there. It's all done, completed by God. With Christ in the heavenly realms. saved us from God's wrath. We are now saved from God's wrath. Let me read that then again to you. Because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace, in other words, a gift, God's enabling, God's causing to be, to happen. No wonder it's amazing to us, grace is. With Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in order that coming ages, God might show that there is no one as rich in his mercy and grace as he is. He's done this for his glory and praise and out of love and mercy for us. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, even the faith, is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God to so respond accordingly. Saved now from God's wrath. Do you see yourself this way? Do I see myself this way through God's eyes? We have now been made alive. Brothers and sisters, let us live as ones who have been made alive. When we sing the next song, let's sing it as ones made alive. Raised up now and seated with him in the heavenly realms. Saved from God's wrath, despite what we might feel. That's not the reality. From God's eyes, we are saved from the wrath to come. We are to live as ones knowing that when we are doubting, when the evil one tries to tempt us to think otherwise. No, I'm not seeing myself through his eyes or through another person's eyes and what they might think of me. I'm seeing myself through God's eyes. I'm saved from the wrath to come. You are too, because of Jesus. Dead we were once in our sin and transgressions. Objects of God's wrath, deserving of it. But God throws us a lifeline. We can't save ourselves. God throws us a lifeline. And he's rescued us and he's redeemed us. And he saved us and he set us free to live as ones who have been made alive, alive in Christ. How has he done this? Verses 4 and 8 there, look back down there. By God's mercy and grace through faith. Again, the faith of Jesus unto death upon a cross, and our faith, the gift of his to so do so. Verses 5 and 8. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 4. It's by grace, God's gift, God's enabling, God's causing to be, that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. How often do I have to tell myself this? When I think I'm good enough, or I try to be good enough, or holy enough, or sanctified enough, or religious enough. It's not by myself or that. It's a gift of God that I have been saved. Here is the helpful little illustration that I've seen and worked up. We are by nature deserving of God's wrath. That's what God says, all right? We are by nature deserving of God's wrath. If God was just with mankind, we would all be separated from him forever. No matter how good or how nice people we are, no one is good enough for God. No one is like Jesus. No one is good enough as him. We are by nature deserving of God's wrath. God doesn't have a double standard, one for one person, one for another person, one for Jesus, and there may be something for everybody else. You know, no, it's all or nothing. And we are by nature deserving of God's wrath. And so many people, all other religions pick this up, and our nature is such that we think that our good works, our acting out, even sometimes some Christians can think this, our acting out, our holiness, our actually living out the godly life, Working towards sanctification is what saves us. No, we work towards sanctification, being more and more like Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit, because we are saved. Right? But so many people think it's by works that we can overcome this. If I'm good enough, God, if he's pass mark, 50%. No. God's pass mark is 100%. If it was anything less and it was dependent upon us, we wouldn't have Christmas and Easter. We wouldn't have God sending himself and his son Jesus to come and live amongst us and do what he did for us. So many of us think it's by God, by good works. Even Christians still think that. It's by our good works that we're made right with God and stay right with God. But it's not by our good works. What it is, we are saved from God's wrath by God, by God's mercy, by God's love, by God being kind, by God choosing, by God actually intervening, by God making us alive, by granting us by grace and faith. God reaches down and he saves us from deserving God's wrath because of Jesus and what he's done for us. Have you received the work of Jesus on the cross and rising from the dead? If you have, you are saved from the wrath of God because God has granted you the gift to so do so. It's by grace you have been saved, not through works, that anyone should boast and say, I'm good enough. But we do good works. The scriptures there read, look, go on, it says, verse 8, for it is by God's grace by you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Our salvation is God's handiwork, not mine, not yours. God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, now because we are saved from God's wrath, because of God's grace and love and mercy, to do good works. The good works that we do are because we're saved, and it's out of gratitude to God. But note, they don't save us or keep us saved, the good works. They're what we do as a response of being saved. And in fact, the good works that we do, the ones that you're going to do today, the ones you did yesterday, the ones I'm thinking about doing tomorrow or whatever, God's already prepared in advance for us to do those good works that we might not think, oh, okay, it was that good thing I did yesterday or that other thing I did that's made me stay right and be right with God. It's all of him. And this is how God sees you and sees me. And this is what gives us that assurance of our salvation, brothers and sisters. It's not of you, it's not of me, it's of him. It's by grace we have been saved. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's the wonderful gift of God. Why has God done this? Verses 9 and 10. To show how wonderful God's grace is. How amazing it is. No wonder that hymn is a favourite hymn for most of us as Christians. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved what's the next word? Wretch. Deserving of God's wrath one. Dead in transgression, sin one. All right? When we sing it next time, remember that. Or wreck, as another translation is. Yeah, hopeless. But now, how wonderful. How merciful and kind God is. Remember, God doesn't need to do this for us. In fact, if he was fair and just and chose not to be mercy, he wouldn't. But because of his great love for you, you are deeply loved, sister and brother in Christ. How deeply loved you are that he, in kindness and mercy, He chose you to be saved from God's wrath, from his wrath. How great God's love is for us. Why? So that we will do good works. Good works are merely saying to God, thank you. What else can I do for you, God? I'm going to encourage my brothers and sisters when I come to church. I'm going to sing as if this, as joyfully. I'm going to be about encouraging them. And if we all do that, we all get encouraged back again. It's made alive. Let's live as ones who are alive and encourage our brothers and sisters to do just that. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us from your word how you see us. Oh God, please help me, help all of us to continue to let you help us see ourselves through your eyes. Lead us not into the temptation to see ourselves through our own eyes or a brother or sister's eyes, Satan's eyes or the world's eyes. Remind us of every spiritual blessing that you've given to us in Christ Jesus, and let us live as ones who have been made alive in him. Amen. Together, let's say this little bit of the psalm together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Well, let's sing again, shall we? Join in when you feel you can. I know it's a new song, and it may take a few verses for you to be able to pick up the chorus, pick up the song itself.
We now live with the crucified, we're seated in the
Please either sit or kneel for prayer. We're now going back actually to the first part of today's reading from Ephesians 2. You were dead in your transgressions and sin. And while we have been made alive, living in the now and the present, unfortunately, it's going to continue to be a battle with sin till either God calls us home or Jesus comes back, whichever happens first. And it is important to continue to recognise our sin, remember Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Before we have a prayer confessing our sins, have a quiet reflection time for ways that we have failed God recently. Let us draw near to God who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy. Please join as we pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. I want you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive all sins. No sin is too big. Our God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Please join with me as we say the prayer Jesus taught us as his children. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our loving Father, we come to you in humble prayer, thinking firstly of the troubles around our world. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and undivided world and our divided world. We particularly bring to you the situation around Ukraine, Crimea, and Russia, and also the missile testing by North Korea around Japanese waters. Establish your wonderful peace in the hearts of all and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your laws. We ask that in your power you will bring an end to acts of hostility and aggression which are being used to intimidate and threaten. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We ask for your mercy on those affected by events across so many places. The loss of life in Creasluff, Donegal, Ireland, in an explosion at a service station. Give comfort to those grieving, we pray. For Haiti and the blockading of fuel by gangs, causing food and water shortages there. We ask for intervention to bring peace and a resolution to this situation. For the residents and people in the USA affected by Cyclone Ian, we ask for ongoing love, care and support for all those affected, many to help with the cleanup and a speedy restoration of at least basic living conditions for those who have lost everything. Comfort those who are grieving the loss of family and friends. For the families in Thailand's north who lost their babies in the recent attacks in the daycare centre, we pray that you'll be with them and comfort them in their deep sorrow. We are grateful, Father, for the great natural beauty of our own nation, Australia, and for the opportunities so many of us have been given. Bless us all, guard our people, guide our leaders and give us peace. Inspire and direct us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Let us speak loudly, however, to those people you bring to us or take us to meet as we share our knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. We ask for your spirit to lead us and carry us in our conversations, to shine your light into their lives and show them the hope we have in you that is also being freely offered to them. We offer our prayers for those currently affected by floodwaters, suffering from other misfortune, distress, or homelessness, and for those facing times of personal challenge. Stay close to them and let them feel compassion and love around them. Uphold them, we pray, and bring them through this time, drawing them to you to feel secure in your loving hands. We thank you for those you call to serve you in missionary work. Send them out with your light and truth as they devote their lives to this work. Bless the work of those in ministry to refugees, in particular the Blair family in Western Sydney. As they connect with those who have escaped from all they knew to start anew in a completely foreign place, strengthen and uphold them as they bring your hope into their lives and support them in this adjustment. Remember, Lord, all you have called to minister to those in prison. May their presence and words be welcomed and received by those who may feel they are beyond forgiveness, who have lost all hope of change and feel abandoned by the world. Grant to prison chaplains the grace to safely walk alongside them and their families in the long journey of separation and hopeful return to society. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We thank you for those members of our church present here today and those who are listening from home. We ask for your blessings on us all. We pray for those who are currently unwell or recovering from illness or preparing for surgeries. Keep us mindful of the promises you have given us in Isaiah 41. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Give us all comfort in the week ahead, Father, knowing that you never leave us alone in anything we face. We pray all this in the name of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Join with me as we close with a prayer for the grace to follow Christ more closely. Almighty God, our hope and strength, without you we falter. Help us to follow Christ and to live according to your will. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Let me tell you some good news that is happening within the life of the church coming up in the next couple of weeks. I would like to tell you about the ladies' breakfast. In 2 weeks' time, on Saturday at 8 a.m, we'll be gathering here in the church foyer for a wonderful breakfast and a great time of fellowship. If you'd like to join us, please put your name down on the list at the back of the church and let me know, and we'd love to see you then.
You think that's a good breakfast up there? Look at this one. Amen. Pancakes next Saturday morning. Breakfast with us. Come along, 15th of October. Put your name down on the back of the church and join me for pancakes and fellowship together around God's word. Right. Well, whilst I'm up the front here as well too, I want you to be involved in the planning and the ministry of this church. We share in the ministry in this place together. And so in the bulletin today, you've been given kind of a little survey type thing that asks you three simple questions. And I actually don't want you to take it home and do it. Some of you I know may have already done it already, and that's great, that's terrific. But if you haven't, I want you to take a little time now to prayerfully think about these three questions. We'll be doing this over the next 2 to 3 weeks again, so if there's something extra you want to think about adding, then do so. I want you to think about, what would you like to hear from God's word? For example, if you ask God a question, what would it be? Okay? If you ask God a question, what would it be? Or what would you want to know about him or from him in his words? Okay, in his word. So write something down there. Okay. And then the other one is ideas that might promote fellowship amongst us. For example, what could we do together that could help us to know each other better and grow in our relationship with God and with each other? Okay? So you could write something just in there. And then what ideas could we implement to connect with the community? For example, what could we do that shows we genuinely care for the people in our community? And this is a really good little question to actually help us to know what would work in connecting. Is that what event or occasion could you or could we hold that you think you would feel comfortable to invite a friend along to, all right? Something that you feel that you've got friends or family that you know, all right? I hope you know your friends and family. Of course you would, you know. But an event or an activity that you think if we held it or ran it, they would come along to that, all right? And because the idea is to build, it's connecting, all right? It's not Bible bashing of these things, it's connecting with them, all right? And building up friendships with them. So take a few minutes now to just to write one or two things down there. Again, remember, this is not exhaustive. We'll have a chance next week and the week after to write some more in. But I'm going to give us some time to do that. In about a few more minutes, I'll those of you who are at home and listening in, you can go to our website and go and to where it says services and news and notes and access that. And then, or you can send us an email through or bring it along next time you come to church. Thank you for taking time to do that. There'll be a red box that'll look like a Christmas present near the offertory box as you're going out the door on the way out to morning tea, that you can fold that up and put it back into that for us. Thank you.
As is our usual custom, there is an opportunity for you to have private prayer after the service down the front here. And while Tony is not able to be here today, Dick will not be pretending to be Tony, but he will be here praying for you with Yung Lan. Please make the most of that opportunity. And thank you for regularly giving back to God bits of what he's given us to continue to support the functioning of this church, whether it is by the donation box at the back or via the internet. Thank you for considering others in remaining COVID safe. Looks like it's not raining from here. So please collect your morning tea and head outside to enjoy that. If there's one thing you remember as you leave this service, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Praise God for that. So please stand. And as we join together in affirming what we believe, for some people this may not be your belief yet and you may like to reflect on it, but for those of us who do believe, let's enthusiastically remind each other, do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we continue to remind ourselves in the next song, our hope is only Jesus when our life is wholly bound to his.
Jesus, now and ever is my dream. Oh,
Please have a seat. The Christian hope is unbelievable, isn't it a shame that a lot more people don't get it? It is so liberating. It doesn't depend on what we do, thankfully. Let's continue to pray this week that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened and that we will share this hope with others. Please join with me as we say this prayer together. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. That ends the formal part of our service, but please stay for fellowship afterwards.